Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks guys for tuning in to the show, and welcome, welcome, welcome those of you who are listening live via my show page at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show, and those who are listening via cell phone or landline, hey, thank you guys for tuning in as well. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. That's where you can call in and be live on the show. You can call in and give and voice. You can voice your opinions or comments, or you can listen live. Either way, if you'd like to be on the show, on the air, and voice your opinion or comments, just press the number 1 on your keypad, and that will alert me that you would like to talk on air, and I will put you on the air. Again, that number is 818-301-5834. Now, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. And please don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. Okay? Again, thanks guys for tuning in to the show. 818-301-5834 is the number to the show. Let's see. Before I get started, I guess something I wanted to talk about was, I guess last night or yesterday, there was a man who took his two kids and jumped off of a bridge. Two kids in his arms and jumped off of a bridge. Now, he died, but the kids are in serious critical condition. Hopefully, they'll live because God takes care of, you know, they say fools and babies, okay? And so, hopefully, the kids will live through, okay? He's already deceased. Don't know what was going on there. I'm sure the police is investigating. You may hear more later. But for me, I just want to say this to all the listeners out there. If there's a problem going on in your life that you don't think that you can handle, you don't think you can handle this problem, you can. I know you can because there's so many other people out there who have much bigger problems than you do. You know, my mom used to always tell me, you think you got problems? Man, you don't know nothing. There are people out there with much bigger problems than you have. And so with that said, you know, all I wanted to say is that please hang on and try to get help with your problem. There are probably thousands of people in the United States that could help you with your problem. Personal issues, social issues, it doesn't matter. Financial issues, it doesn't matter. They can help you. And before I take my life, before I especially take my kids' life, I want to see if there's someone that can help me before I do something as drastic as jumping off of a bridge to my death. Now, I don't know what the circumstances were around what he did, but again, they definitely could not have been that bad, okay? And again, when you're thinking that you have problems or, you know, something's not right in your life, seek help. Okay, please seek help because I'm sorry about that, guys. I muted my headsets. But, you know, when you, again, that's, when you think about it, there's always something that, or someone that can help you. And if you don't think there is, then you'll do something drastic with your life. Or you'll think about doing something drastic with your life. So I don't recommend, you know, not getting any help. if you go through steps of getting help and trying to get this rectified, and you still can't seem to get the help that you want, the help that you need, or whatever, then you have to continue. You have to continue to try to grab a hold of what you have. You try to still continue to try to grab a hold of people around you who are local, who are professionals at helping people deal with problems. No matter what the problem is, there are people out there who can help you. Okay? There are people out there who can and will help you. So again, to my audience and the people out there who are listening, and we're talking about the guy who jumped off the bridge on yesterday. I don't know if he jumped into water or just jumped onto some concrete or whatever, but he jumped from a bridge with his two kids in his arms, and he died. The kids are right now in serious critical condition. So hopefully the kids will make it through. But again, whatever problems you have, again, whether it's personal, financial, social, whatever the problem is, there are people out there who can help. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. Now, today's episode is entitled, "My Georgia Voters Who Listen to the Show, Please Vote No on Amendment 1, which privatizes the schools. Atlanta schools, I guess statewide, the schools statewide." And what I want to do is discuss why us Georgia voters should vote no for Amendment 1. Okay? And I found some things that can help us. But before before I do, let's do this. I didn't do today's word of the day, and I know there are a lot of people who really look forward to that. Today's word of the day is imbue. I-M-B-U-E. Imbue is a verb, and it means to permeate or influence as if by dyeing. The second meaning is to tinge or dye deeply. Dye is D-Y-E, D-Y-E, not D-I-E, but D-Y-E. Okay, the third meaning is to provide with something freely or naturally or endow. So, imbue is a verb, and again, it means to influence as if by dyeing, to tinge or dye deeply. And excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. I think I'm trying not to get this cold or flu bug or whatever that's going around here. I know my daughter had it, my wife had it. Now, it feels like I'm grabbing it, but I've been pumping so many things into my body, but off of me. Hopefully, I will. But excuse me if you hear me sniffle every now and then. I know my voice is kind of fading away, but I hope I can get through the show. Again, I see there are more people joining the show, and thank you guys for joining in. Our topic is Georgia voters, my Georgia voters who listen to the show. Please vote no on Amendment 1, which privatized schools. Let's see. Before I get into the show, I have a caller on the line. Looks like they're calling in from a private number. They've pressed number one on their keypad. Let's see if this caller's here. Caller, you're live on the show with Frank Williams. Who's this and where you calling from?
Hey, Frank. I'm calling from Earth, man. I'm not from the States, but I just kind of thought, well, we're all part of the same planet, you know? It's Andrew, yeah?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. So anyway, why would you be against the, like, privatization of schools? I mean, because I know that privatization can cause issues, but isn't the more important issue, the ability to choose the type of curriculum?
Sure, we have that ability right now. That's nothing new. We have that ability right now. But So I'm not sure where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's like whether schools are privatized or whether schools are government, like, you know, sort of privatized or public, so to speak. You know, or privatization of public services. It doesn't really matter so much, you know, whether it all just comes down to whether or not it's effective for everyone to be able to get a better quality of life. And the actual, you know, the actual outcome-based education system is causing people to have very substandard education. I mean, when I say standard, if you go back to the what do they call it, classical education, you go back to the education that people used to get before the schools turned into this sort of factory schooling method where you have tutors and that sort of thing. Now, not everyone would be able to get access to that kind of private boarding school type education, but that was where it started, you know. And then they created during the Industrial Revolution, they created the public schools, which are just, it's very, like, sort of more indoctrination and getting someone to be, you know, to behave a certain way. It's more behavioral modification. So it's like, it's not really a school. Like, you're not really talking about schools as much you are talking about, like, sensitivity training.
Okay. So where did you say you were from again?
I was born in Africa, but, you know, I don't really like to, I prefer people to think of me as just a world, like, individual, because, people get preconceived ideas about who someone is based on where they're from, you know?
Right. I understand. I get so many callers, through the show that are calling from, all different parts of the state of the United States, and I noticed your accent, so I was wondering where were you? You don't have to tell us exactly what city and all this, but
yeah, I'm not in the United States.
Oh, you are in the United States.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So, what type of education did you grow up in? Did you grow up in public education, or did you grow up in private education?
That's the thing, one of the things is, you know, when I went through the public school, I found it very frustrating because it was so, you're so boxed in. There's, you know, like, I mean, for example, the typing teacher said to me, you'll never be able to type. And I mean, and then I did a job shadow, if you call it that, at an IT when I was about 17. I actually left school for a while because it just wasn't working for me. And I did a job shadowing, if that's the right word for it, like an internship or whatever, at a ISP, a major ISP, like sitting in the server room and chatting to the guys that do the maintenance of the servers and stuff. And within 1 month, I taught myself how to type. I was so bored of the way that they handled the lessons. And she's like, you'll never be able to type. it wasn't so much that I couldn't type. It was the environment. I absolutely hated the environment. Yeah, there's great books on this. The one is called The Brainy Bunch. That's Brainy, not Brady. And that
yeah,
is
Brainy.
About, like, a family. Yeah, Brainy. They homeschool their kids, and, like, one of them is already working for NASA at age 20. They found a method by which to allow the kids to explore and then going into their young adulthood lives, really kind of specialize. They go to a university by the time they're about 14 or 15 years old. They encourage learning. They encourage people to do what's fun with them. So each person naturally grows into their full potential. That can be done. It is done. I mean, in history, you can see where there were people that were extremely young managing entire armies. And it's an anomaly, but it does exist. So this whole preconceived notion that people are stupid and that you have to first, you know, wait until you're like 19 or 20 years old to go to university is ridiculous. But it's mainly also because of the the kind of psychological as well as the physical effects of all sorts of bad things that happen in our food system and in our formative years. From what I can tell from my research, if you go and research epigenetics, which is a very, 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 very good field of study, then you start seeing how everything is affected by your environment and what you eat, etc. So I'm not just getting into that now. I'm one of those people that has been to a large extent dumbed down, but because of the internet and because of being able to, go back and read a lot of the things that are now available, you can broaden your horizons. But it's very challenging because, of course, if you're born into a place that is, let's say, already very run down, like, you know, in the United States, they compare this a lot with the wealthy areas versus the poorer areas, how difficult it is to get out of that environment because of the, multiple levels of lack. You know, you can't go and focus on studying when you don't have any food in you. So
right.
It's true, right?
Right.
So people should read also John Taylor Gatto. I mean, the guy's just become like a legend in the education research arena in terms of people that know what's going on. And, I mean, he spent 30 years in the New York school system and eventually left because he just said, this is ridiculous. We're shrinking people's brains. We're not teaching them to learn, you know. And another great website to go and check out is by a guy that runs this website called Gnostic Media. And on there, I'm trying to remember his name, Jan Irvin. And he has a website called the Trivium Learning. I think it's called Trivium Learning or something like that. And he goes back into the traditional method of learning how to learn. It's like logic, rhetoric, grammar, being able to understand full spectrum why you are learning something, what you are learning, whether it's true or not, being able to identify whether something is beneficial for you or not. In other words, critical thinking, which people just don't get given. You get given indoctrination at a school. It's basically a mind control center. You're basically paying for your kid to go to a mind control center. In fact, I think it was John Taylor Gatto that said, the average kid, if you took them out of money, it's so retarded. I mean, people don't realize how retarded and terrible and horrific the school system really is, especially in the United States as well, because you guys put so much money into it. If you took the amount of money that was given to a kid in public schooling over their lifetime, and by the time they reached 18, took it out of a trust fund for them, they'd all have $1 million at 18 to be able to go and fund the investments in the current economy. If you only did it for particular kids, if you took their money they were going to use for schooling out of the federal budget and out of the government budget, and you put it into a trust fund that was well managed, you'd end up with $1 million to give them to go and do whatever they wanted at 18. So then we begin to see that the money system doesn't actually have as much influence on us as we think. The money system is merely a control mechanism, and the education system is merely a control mechanism. So we live in an upside-down world.
Sure.
You see, they could screw on $1 million for free, right? But then the $1 million would no longer be worth $1 million if they gave it to everyone, because it would even out. So it's actually all part of a control mechanism. There's all these. Once again, you only learn about those trust funds that you can put your money into if you were on that level. If you were at an Ivy League school, then you'd know how to do that. And of course, that's part of the. Anyway, I'm rambling.
Well, see, you said something that was powerful right there. You said something about. The money that's being put into schools, that we put into schools. I know I'm 50 years old, and you know, I came through the public school system, and I went through public school, I went through college, and but as far as the money that goes into schools, I believe that a lot of this money is not being put into the schools. You can you can go through these schools and they've got bad water, they've got falling ceilings, they got all this stuff. They got bad food in the school system.
Yeah.
And like you say, all these things contribute to these kids learning. And the money's not, although we're paying taxes, although we're paying these school taxes every, you know, every month or whatever, this money is not being put into the schools. And then you go back to the teachers. The teachers of today are not interested in the students. I'm not saying all the teachers. I'm saying some of these teachers today aren't interested in the students. They're interested in a paycheck, and they're interested in their summer vacation, and they're interested in retiring with a great pension. The school teachers' pension fund is the largest pension fund in America. And once they retire from school, they live well in retirement. So these are the things that are taking these young people and pushing them towards being teachers. But they're not cut out. They're not cut out to be teachers. Okay, but they are in the school system teaching our kids. And I think, you know, when you look at the problem of the school system, you have to start at the top. Okay, you don't start at the bottom with all these kids and, you know, moving them here and putting them there and moving them here. You start at the top.
I mean, here's the logical choice, right, is to take the kids out of school. Go and find a community center or a church or something like that. Get one or two, one or two really good lecturers, that people that are either qualified as student teachers or people that are from university, et cetera, and get them to tutor the kids and get the kids to allow them to, and even like when I say kids, I mean also young people. I mean, your learning goes right on into your 20s. So, you know, people should have a culture of learning. They should ignore the mainstream stuff that's basically destroying your culture. I mean, in other words, whatever works within culture. And you should be focusing on working together as a community to be able to leverage your energy. Because at the moment, your energy is being leveraged by someone else. You're following somebody else's script. So it's not even about whether it's private or public. It's about which script are you following. Are you writing a script that is more beneficial, or are you following someone else's script? And then if people can't get that through their heads and they keep going with the mind control that says that you have to ask someone else to maybe one day do it for you, then you're going to be stuck forever, basically.
Absolutely, and it's a continuing cycle. It's a continuing cycle that is just like in the poorer communities. That's a continuing cycle that these kids who having kids are teaching their kids to get on the system and not to get out there and grab a hold of this thing themselves. They're teaching them to get on the system just like they did, because that's all that they know. And so it's in the school system is just a continuous cycle that's, you know, in more ways than one, exactly like the poverty cycle for kids out there in the streets.
You know what bugs me, right? You know what really fascinates me is that people don't look at people don't want to discuss the obvious things. That's what's fascinating to me about the mind manipulation. So people say, well, we don't have good food to eat. I say to them, or they say, you know what, we can't get out of poverty. And I would say to them, have you ever seen an Amish person in poverty? Am I going to say, well, no. Some of the wealthiest people in the United States, the Amish. And I said, well, why don't you go and live like an Amish person? You can still have solar panels or whatever if you need them, and you don't have to chuck away all the technology. But why don't you like not watch the news that much, and you know, not focus on trying to get the Ferrari that much, and all these different vices and things? Why don't you rather not focus on that? Go and find a farm together. Go and get in touch with another 1,000 families or so. Go and buy a piece of land by sourcing your resources, even if and you try and pay it off, or you get a company to invest. You know. Farm the land, build a factory on the land for green manufacturing, and muddy your life out and enjoy your life. Why do you wait around for somebody to come and save you from that the government's going to do something or whatever, when it's proven after the, over the, like many, many hundreds of years even, that governments don't do that, that they exist for an elite, that they're put in place to keep you down and controlled? It's obvious. Go and read The Crowd by Gustave Le Bon. Go and read you know, some of the papers and things that are written by guys like Brzezinski about the grand chessboard. I mean, if he's calling, if his book is titled The Grand Chessboard, who do you think the chess pieces are? You know, I mean,
right.
Really, it's all geopolitics, it's all power, it's all control. So if you're not in that arena, if you're not born into a world in which you can move the chess pieces around, you might as well be an optimized person that tries to just sort of get off the chessboard. You might as well just try to get off the chessboard. If you don't want to play the game and you're not powerful enough to play the game, then get off the chessboard if you don't want to be moved around and killed and shot because you're a pawn and you get put on the front lines. Don't go and sign up for the military. You've got another option. Everybody has an option.
Yep.
People just don't realize they just need to walk away. You know, if you don't want to be in a dangerous environment, don't go into the dangerous environment. You know, and it's easier said than done, but that's what's necessary. Anyway, I digress.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, I really do appreciate your call. I took some notes about some things that you were saying. I know I definitely want to go get this the grand chessboard. I definitely want to do that. The Brady Bunch, I'm going to look that up. And Mystic Medium, I'm going to look that up. All these things, I think that I could use for myself to help me more understand some of these things. But I really do appreciate your call. I'm just about out of time on the show, but I really do appreciate your call. And
just
hey,
out of interest,
yourself,
Frank, what is your background?
My background actually is filmmaking and editing.
Okay.
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 And that's what I went to school for, filmmaking and editing. And now I do a lot of video. I do weddings and things like that, and then I put it all together for people. And I do a lot of pictures and things like that. And and I decided to, about 3 years ago, I decided to start my own radio show through Blog Talk Radio. And and you know, when I started it, it was just for actually my high school class reunion, trying to figure out a way to have a meeting point for everyone, whether they were in California or Georgia or Canada or wherever they were, where they can come on one day out of the week and listen in and talk together and figure out how we're going to do this. And after everything was said and done, you know, I had 2,500 people listening to my show every day. And
okay.
I just decided to continue on. And 3 years later, here I am.
Right.
So,
cool.
Yeah,
that's
my background. And
well, look, just like you
here.
Put your, you understand the editing, right? You understand the timeline. You know,
yes,
just
sir.
Like you're putting different clips on a timeline, that's pretty much the kind of thing that needs to happen for people to get out of the situation that they're in. But if you're going to be a good script writer, right, in filmmaking, if you need to get a good script writer, they need to know about character development in terms of the different characters. You know, not character development as in be a good person, but character development in terms of the type of people that you want to portray. And we can take that into the timeline and say, in these different segments, we're going to be representing the different characters at different times to get the maximum reaction from the people that are watching the movie, right?
Sure.
So that's how that works in Hollywood. Now, in our own lives and in our own communities, we need to be able to identify, you know, what aspects of our community or different characteristics of our community need to be changed or be optimized, I should say. And then we need to put those onto a timeline. And we need to see which ones are we going to implement first and which ones are we going to implement second, third, fourth, fifth, etc. And so we've told a whole story, and the end of the story, you know, the guy gets the girl, or the, you know, the tragedy is averted. And so we need to look at our lives like this timeline, and we need to be able to realize what kind of script are we on. Because right now they're giving you the script of global warming, which a lot of people say is false. They're saying, well, you know, and they're saying, you know, we understand this and you couldn't possibly ever understand this narrative. Hitler, before World War II, said, you know, obviously he said, oh, Jewish people are evil, and made up a whole bunch of stuff, and that got everybody to go to war. So the thing is, you're going to build your own script and change your community and write your own movie and get that done and be resilient, or you're going to go along with the smart meters and the implementation of all sorts of programs that are not necessarily good for you, because somebody else is saying, no, don't watch the Peace and Prosperity channel, watch the Chaos and Anarchy and Give Us All Your Resources channel.
That's, I mean, that's exactly how the way that the government pushes us. And that's, you know, they want control of everything. And I think that's a, you know, a big part of the problem as well. Okay. So, you know, until the government and people in government in these places start to think differently about some of these things.
No, but it's the other way around. It's the other way around. Even if you get your people together, even though it's more difficult, you get your people together and you say, okay, well, even if it's just a block in your community, and then maybe it's even decentralized, and you get enough people from each community, 20% of the people from each community, to sit down, or to even not necessarily sit down in a physical space, but get online and say, okay, well, you know, give everybody a chance to speak. But you can even do it with recordings. Different people record what they want to say and say, well, I think this is a good idea. Then you go and compare it to science and say, what works, what doesn't work, what historically plays out. Another great website for you, tragedyandhope.com. Tragedyandhope.com. That'll give you the true history of the United States and the world to a large extent, and especially a lot of things that have happened in the United States, and then how to reverse those things potentially. And you have those discussions, and then you begin to implement the solutions once you've written the correct script. You know, so I know it's tough, but I think that's what people need to start doing.
Sure, sure.
Cool.
I agree with you. And, yeah, thank you, sir, for calling in, and I appreciate it. And take care of yourself, and have yourself a great day.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So, again, guys, I the caller was right on point. And this caller doesn't live in the United States. He's looking from the outside in. And he probably understands what's going on with the United States better than most people that are here in the United States. And and again, before we close out the show, there are a few things that I want you guys to try to grab a hold of as well on this tragedyandhope.com. Look at that site and read and read and read. That's the key to everything is reading. The Brainy Bunch, Brainy, not Brady. Brainy, like your brain in your head, the Brainy Bunch, Mostic Medium, and then the Grand Chessboard, a book. So you guys, if you have time, look into these things, you know, write them down. Again, that's tragedyandhope.com, the Brainy Bunch, Mostic Medium, and the Grand Chessboard. So if you guys would grab a hold of those, write them down, look into it, read about this stuff, and you get an understanding of what's going on, what's happening. And I guess maybe tomorrow I'll bring in a part two of this, and we'll talk about Amendment 1. All right? Hey, take care of yourselves, guys. This is Frank. Hey, I'll see you guys in about 23 and a half hours. This is Frank. I'm over. And I'm out. Let's see. I'm trying to find a good song to close out with. Here we go. Take care of yourselves, guys. I'll see you.